Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 1st of December, 2024. To start off with, we will be reading two scriptures from the Gospels. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18. The Gospel of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." Let's go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. "And Yeshua came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Go into all the world and make disciples of every nation. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. May it be found in us. May it achieve that for which it was sent. May, Lord, it be part of us. May it change us from one degree of glory to another as we meekly receive it. Thank you for your guidance, Holy Spirit, as we approach the things of God. May we appreciate this inestimable treasure. May we absorb it for your glory. In Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. We have been talking about what's commonly referred to as the fivefold ministry. The overall picture is getting an understanding of how the body of Christ was designed, how she was intended to work. And with this further understanding that if we understand how it works, we are better equipped to be a part of it, a positive part of it, to play our part, which is in a sense fulfilling our calling. Now, as we were going through this, we mentioned that this fivefold ministry, so-called, is more to be understood as particular functions, anointings, special supernatural empowerments that God places in his body to achieve his great purpose, which is the salvation of the earth. And we've said this time and time again, these five anointings, these five functions must all be present if the church of God is going to grow. The body of Christ is designed to function specifically, primarily with these five functions working in her midst. Now, we've been stressing the fact that it's important not to confuse title with function. Simply stated, the big danger is having some elevated idea about a particular function. And because we associate it with a particular title, that would demarcate in our minds that certain functions are to be fulfilled only by certain individuals. And this is as far from the truth as the East is from the West, as we are going to try and explain. We have spoken about the first two that we've mentioned already, that being the pastoral anointing, the shepherd anointing. The church, very simply, needs to take care of her people, just as the shepherd will take care of the sheep. And so you see, that anointing needs to be found in our midst. And as we explained then, It's not the function of one person, the pastor, as it were, to be the one that takes care of everyone. He can't do it. Every one of us is charged with the function of looking after one another, tending one another. The pastor's function, the person that is placed in the office of pastor, his function is not only to shepherd as far as he can those in his charge, but also to develop that shepherding anointing in each one of his sheep. In other words, his job is to help all of us to move just from being sheep into being shepherds ourselves. Not that we necessarily have to one day become officially ordained as a pastor, but nonetheless, we have the function of looking after one another, and we need to learn how to do this. And that's the shepherd's function, to help us grow in that regard. Closely associated, as we've said, is the teaching anointing, the transference of information. As children of God, we need to be continually learning about the things of God, the things of heaven. And that is an anointing that must be in our midst. There must be an anointing to transfer information. Once again, it's not the teacher, the pastor of the church's job alone. Although he has a function, he has a great part to play in this regard. But you see, you and I need to learn how to transfer information one with another. We are all, as it were, involved with teaching. The teacher, the office of teacher's function is to, in a sense, teach us how better to teach, how better to gain information from the word for ourselves and to communicate it to others. Having done the pastor and the teacher, now we will move, as the scripture that we read suggests, to what's known as the evangelist. The evangelist anointing. The Lord gave strict instructions, the Great Commission as it's known, to his disciples. Go into all the world and make more disciples. And that is what every one of us has been charged with. You see, the kingdom of heaven has got to grow. The children of God cannot just sit within the confines of our churches, getting fed, getting pastored, getting ministered to. All of that is to equip us for something far greater. And that far greater thing is to reach out to the lost. We all have this function. Notice, the Lord said to his disciples, go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every single child of the living God has got this mandate to preach the gospel to every creature. Now you see, the kingdom of heaven needs to have new blood, as it were, coming in all the time. The system is designed to embrace those who come in, and as we've spoken, pastor them, take care of them, clean them off, as it were, nourish them, feed them, help them to grow. But you see, the purpose wasn't just to get hold of them and to put them in a situation and keep them there forever and a day. As we've been talking about the whole function of the body of Christ, the whole heart of it is to help you and I as individuals identify where we fit into this whole picture and to become part of this vibrant body, which, as Ephesians explains, is designed to build itself up in love. Now, this particular function, although every single child of God is required to be part of it in some way or other, does carry with it, as with the teacher and the pastor, an office. We all know about the great evangelists of our times, people like Oral Roberts, Billy Graham, in this part of the world, Reinhard Bonnke, and many, many others, and praise God for them. But if we read in Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 12, it says this, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ." Now, the question is, if we understand that the evangelist is ordained to reach the lost, that's the nature, the anointing of evangelism is to go out from the security of the body of Christ and to reach the people that are not yet born again. Go into all the world and make disciples. So the big question when we read this Ephesians passage is, why is it that God has ordained evangelists to equip the saints? What use is an evangelist who is charged with getting people saved? What is the use that he has with regards to people that are already saved? Now, I'm stressing this point just to illustrate what I've been saying all along. You see, the office is designed to reproduce. The office is designed to reproduce. The teacher will encourage all the children of God to become better teachers. The pastor's job is to encourage all of the children of God to become better shepherds in their own fields. Likewise, the office of the evangelist, apart from reaching the lost out there, is to train up the saints of God for that same purpose. It's a particular anointing. Now, what we need to try and understand in all of this is that many of these things are not just taught intellectually. I've been saying this all along, but there's a depth to it. You see, many things that happen in the body of Christ, as far as development is concerned, are picked up just by being in association with. You can't read a book on evangelism and just become an evangelist. Now, yes, there's a lot to be learned through information, and we can improve our skills, hone our skills through learning from others, yes. But there's something more to this whole approach. You see, when we are talking about development, we are talking about impartation. You and I can learn all that we can academically about being a good pastor, but nothing will replace being in the presence of that pastoral anointing and just, in a sense, picking it up. We absorb it, the spirit of it. The same can be said for a teaching anointing. There's more to just learning how to teach than technique, academic information, etc. There's this anointing of a teacher, someone who imparts loving information that builds people up. That anointing has to be picked up. The same can be said about the evangelist. You see, you and I can so easily get caught up in the rut of our own existence. The heart of the evangelist, however, is to look beyond our circumstances, to reach out. The heart of the evangelist has a hunger for souls. Now, you see, we can so easily say, oh, well, the evangelist has got that hunger for souls. Well, that's a mistake. The truth is, every one of us should have a hunger for the lost. We should have a hunger for souls. If we had any idea of the horror of what becomes those who are not saved when they come to the end of their life. If we have just an inkling of that horror, it would drive every single one of us to seek souls desperately on a daily basis. But you see, you and I, left to our own devices, as sheep, will just carry on grazing what suits us, you see. The evangelist's task is to come and challenge us. And of course, that evangelist will only challenge us when he himself is busy achieving great things on the evangelistic front. I know from experience that on the few occasions where I've had the privilege of being under the ministry of great evangelists, something comes over me that inspires me to keep going to reach the lost. There is, of course, a lot to be learned about evangelism. Once again, let's bear in mind that it's not a case of one size fits all. We could teach on evangelism until the cows come home, but just broadly speaking, there's more to it than just being a great healing evangelist, as wonderful as the great healing evangelist is. That is definitely an office. Christ himself operated as a healing evangelist, and extremely successfully as well. The gifts that were on his life, that anointing to heal the sick, which he imparted to his disciples and to us, was to be used primarily as a calling card to the lost and dying world. In church circles today, they speak of power evangelism. It's nothing new. There's only one kind of evangelism, and that is with the power of Almighty God. But you see, it doesn't mean that every one of us has got to now assemble a whole lot of people and try and preach to them. Many of us are not called to that. However, that doesn't mean that we cannot operate as evangelists. There's something that we could possibly call friendship evangelism, working with people in your immediate circle, at the office, at school, in the family. You see, we have a whole lot of people around us that need to know about him. And God's charged us to do that. And he's empowered us supernaturally. Evangelists and evangelism doesn't work on its own. Something we're going to learn about more in the future. You see, we might not be the one that stands up and preaches, but there's a lot of activity behind the scenes that needs to take place. We will be teaching about this in more detail. But you see, what the spirit of evangelism is very simply not being satisfied just with our own little salvation. Not that it's little. But you see, God is always challenging us to break out. And if we can understand something of what God has done for us, I believe that makes it easy to want to share it with others. The evangelist in our midst should challenge us. The evangelist in our midst should inspire that evangelistic thrust that God has placed in us, his hunger for the world around us. And we need to learn to yield to that. Of course, you see, there's some basics that we do need to know. It's very hard to get people saved if we don't really understand what it is that we ourselves believe. There's always a growing in our faith in God ourselves. The greater our understanding, the easier it is to share with others. There's so much to be learnt about reaching others. We realize that it's not the case of just hitting people over the head with the Bible. God's given us so many other weapons, as it were, weapons of supernatural healing, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, things that, if they are found in us in abundance, will automatically draw people to him. But you see, the heart of it has to be a desire. The heart of it has to be the understanding that we were not just saved for the sake of us going to heaven. God reached down to us in His grace and His mercy, trusting, hoping that we would do something for others around us. I always think of this illustration, which I've mentioned before, but it speaks to me. I can think of no other worse situation for a human being to be in, a parent, than if to have heard that your child has been abducted. Imagine getting the news that your child has been abducted by people that have evil intentions. How devastating that must be. And a parent in that situation, obviously, would do anything in their power to get that child back home safely. And if we can understand the anguish that a parent in that situation would feel, let's realize that God Himself finds Himself in that predicament, with the difference being that He can see the children that are lost and are in the control of evil forces. And in His position in heaven, for Him to reach them, He has got to use people that are on this earth, you and I. When we start to grasp that and understand it, you realize that God Himself will do just about anything to empower us to rescue His lost children, His abducted children. That's why in that passage from the Gospel of Mark, He writes there, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." Then note this, "And these signs will follow those who believe." Can you see that? What He's saying is, I will put these signs, these power abilities, these supernatural abilities upon anyone who believes, who's going out there in an effort to reach the lost. These signs will follow him. In my name, they will cast out demons. Child of God, it doesn't matter how long you've been in this business, God's given you the power, if necessary, to cast out evil spirits. You will speak with new tongues. Yes, God has given us an ability to speak a new language even. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Nothing can stop us if we are on a mission to reach the lost. And then, finally, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. God's calling card to the lost and dying world is to first heal their bodies. We have to understand that God's heart is for those who have lost their way and are destined for destruction. And you see, the body of Christ, if we do not have this function in us, this overwhelming burden to reach the lost, the spirit of evangelism burning in us, we are, as the Bible says, like salt that has lost its saltiness, good for nothing, to be trampled underfoot. We can have all the wonderful teaching in the world. We can have all the wonderful caring in the world. We can have all the great organizational skills, etc., that we're going to be talking about. All these things are important, yes. But if we lose sight of our great calling, the great purpose why we were placed here, if we lose sight of that, we've lost sight of everything. And no matter what you and I are called to do, no matter what the burden is that's been placed on your and my heart, what great purpose God has for us on this earth, if somehow it's not tied up with reaching other people with the gospel of peace, my brother and sister, then we have missed it by a million miles. I pray that you and I will be stirred up to seek the lost, trusting God to empower us as only He can. There's no telling what God can do with a willing heart, and I pray that all of our hearts will indeed be willing. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.